I invite you to turn to a very familiar passage from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And the Pew Bible is page 903. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." Believe it or not, we live in a world filled with distractions. Sometimes they are humorous. I still remember the YouTube, security camera video of a woman a year or so ago walking in the mall with one of these distractions, and she was texting away and not paying attention and hit a wall where there was a fountain and fell head first into the fountain. Very humorous. I also remembered that she tried to sue the mall security for allowing it to be posted on YouTube. She didn't win that one, but she was very distracted, and that was humorous. Or the guy who was walking along texting, and I was sitting in a waiting area of the hospital, and he was walking along texting and walked right into one of those thick plate glass windows and dropped his phone and fell down on the floor. He didn't get hurt. He didn't break the window. But obviously distracted by that cell phone, and it was rather humorous. Or perhaps, and I'm not going to ask if any of you have ever done this, but perhaps the person who is sitting in a class or sitting in a meeting or somewhere else, and they've got those little earbuds that they've run up and stuck in, and the music's on, and all of a sudden, you've seen it in the commercial, but I've actually seen it happen. All of a sudden, they break out into song, whatever's playing on their iPod, and usually they're way off key. Sometimes, far too often, there are tragic results by distractions. Accidents because of texting with these things while driving, or sometimes talking on the phone and getting so distracted, even with the hands-free things, getting so distracted that accidents occur. Even in churches, there can be distractions, distractions by music or cell phones that either go off or now that people can play on the internet, iPods. None of y'all have broken into off-key song because you're listening to an iPod during service yet. iPads, all the smartphones, etc. Sometimes even the windows are used as distractions. I had someone a few years ago talking one day and said, "Yeah, you know, sometimes I get a little distracted by the windows, but they're so beautiful that I just look at them even when I don't hear anything else." And that's not a bad thing as long as I'm not doing it every Sunday, right? I keep a distraction going. Most of you probably have never noticed it. But I've actually on occasion had somebody say or ask, "Do you realize that you're walking right on the edge of the stage?" And I said, "Sure." I figure if nothing else, people will be looking to see whether I'm going to misstep and fall off, and perhaps they'll hear something. I remember an article where a senior minister of an upstate church was interviewed a few years ago, and the question was asked as to why that church had no pictures of Jesus, no crosses, no stained glass windows, nothing at all to make it really look like a Christian church. And his response was, "Well, those things would be a distraction to the worshipers." Yeah. We live in a world that is filled with distractions. An era of what I heard one person recently call, when they were talking about these things, cell phones, iPads, other things. They said, this person said, you know, we just have all this noiseless noise around us that distracts us. Now, that was a good way to describe it. All of this noiseless noise that distracts us. Mine's on vibrate, by the way. So. Okay. So now I've talked about those things and about distractions. But what does that have to do with the story we read today? Oh, by the way, another distraction I found out recently, I have a sports coat that's new and I didn't pay attention. And for the person that brought it to my attention, evidently it was a distraction. I didn't clip the little strings in the back so that it would separate. I've since clipped them. See, some people are distracted by all kinds of things. But what does all that have to do with the story we read today? Well, I think the key is found in looking at the different types of service and responses of Martha and Mary, and the fact that the text twice mentions that Martha was distracted. When Jesus was in the house, she was distracted. The story is very familiar to many of us. Jesus and his disciples are journeying along, and in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, we are told that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. An idiom which means that he made a conscious decision to turn and go to Jerusalem for the last time to experience more persecution and suffering and death and resurrection. And on his way to be arrested, to be killed, he is going along through a village. Now, presumably, this village is Bethany. We do find that other gospel writers tell us that he stopped in Bethany, which was about 2 miles, give or take a little bit, away from Jerusalem. And the woman of the house invites Jesus to come in to eat. The woman of the house was Martha. She was the one who heard Jesus was coming, and she was the one who would prepare meals and do other things. And so she goes outside and summons Jesus and asks him to come in. To come in to spend some time and eat. Needless to say, when Jesus agrees and he enters the house, Martha is thrilled to death. What an honor it is to have Jesus there. I imagine that Martha had been waiting for an opportunity to have this kind of thing happen. This was a major coup. And I can see it now. As Jesus enters, Martha rushes back in the house and starts rushing through the rooms and heading toward the kitchen. Mary, he's here. Jesus is going to stay with us for a little while. Wow, isn't this great? We've got to fix something special for him. Come on, we need to get busy. Right? Jesus and his disciples walk in, and he sits down, surrounded by those disciples, and Martha scurries around in the kitchen. I would say banging pots and pans, but if they were clay pots and she banged them, they'd probably break. So, but she's making noise and scurrying around in the kitchen. And in all of her busyness, for a little bit, she fails to notice that Mary doesn't come in. Mary parks herself right in front of Jesus, right at his feet. To sit at one's feet is an idiom of the day for studying under a teacher. Teachers would often either stand or would sit in a slightly elevated position, and their disciples, the ones who want to learn from them, would sit around them on the floor at their feet and listen. In fact, literally, disciple, which means a learner, connotes one who sits at the feet and studies. for Mary to be allowed to do this was rather revolutionary within Judaism in Jesus' day and within Orthodox Judaism even today. For a woman to be allowed to do this kind of study was revolutionary. But again, this is the gospel according to Luke, where we find that Luke shows Jesus' concern for elevating the poor and the oppressed. And one of the greatest oppressed groups was women. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus does more to elevate the role of women to equality with men than in any other place. In the background, we hear Martha scurrying around. And as Martha scurries around in the kitchen, she suddenly looks around, realizing that she's the only one in there. She looks around for Mary, and in, I imagine, an exasperated way, goes looking for her to see where she might be, and lo and behold, Mary is sitting down, listening to Jesus. Now, Luke tells us that up to this point, Martha was distracted from what Jesus was saying and doing by much service. She's distracted by her many tasks, is what my translation says, but often the translations say by much service. And actually, the word used here for service is diakonia, from which we get deacon, which means servant, which also means minister or ministry. So she has been distracted from what Jesus is saying and doing, this guest that she was so excited to have come into her home. She's kind of put Jesus on the back burner, so to speak, while she's scurrying around in the kitchen. I don't know if she had chickens or not. In the kitchen, trying to prepare this meal, trying to get everything set just right. If it were in one of our homes, she'd be setting the table, making sure that, well, I don't know, some people these days forget that the fork goes on the left and the knife goes on the right, facing in toward the plate, and the spoon goes outside the knife as protection. Unless you've got multiple forks and multiple spoons, and then you got to make sure you got the right one in the right place, right? Some of y'all know all about that. So that's what Martha was doing. She was distracted from the importance of what Jesus was saying and doing by all of these other things, which were necessary. It was a form of service, a form of practical service and ministry. But Luke says here that she was distracted. Now, the word in the Greek literally means to be pulled away or to have your attention overburdened. You ever had your attention overburdened? And then you start looking at the stained glass. No. It literally means to have your attention overburdened or to be pulled away. By trying to put together a nice and impressive meal for Jesus, she was pulled away. She was overburdened and was missing what Jesus was trying to share. I think she wanted to hear Jesus. I really do. I think Martha wanted to hear Jesus, but she was hoping that she and Mary could throw this meal together and then she would be able to listen. She got pulled in other directions. She wanted to hear, but she was distracted, pulled in other directions by her wanting to be the hostess with the mostest. Here she is, the host, and she can't even enjoy the moment because she's overwhelmed and distracted. Have you ever been there? And not just when you're trying to prepare that Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas meal or something else. But have you ever been there in other circumstances in life where you cannot begin to enjoy the moment because you're distracted by so many other things? Well, is this in the right place? Wait a minute. We've lost the 3-year-old. Or perhaps in other ways. As Martha feels that Mary is taking advantage of the situation. And don't get me wrong. Martha is performing a good service and Martha is performing a necessary service. And Jesus will acknowledge that while she's distracted by many things, those things are still important. But as Martha feels that Mary is taking advantage of the situation, her feelings, her emotions, her exasperation get the best of her and she bursts into the room. See, I tried to be nice and grammatical. We'd say she busted into the room. She bursts into the room, exasperated and embarrassed. Sorry, a little digression here. I have these images of... anybody ever see the movie Murder by Death? Hilarious movie, Neil Simon. But you've got a mute maid and a blind butler, and the butler ends up serving nothing out of the soup tureen. Because he thinks that the maid has done something in you. Sorry. But that's kind of how she is. She's embarrassed because I'm not going to have it ready. And she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has abandoned me to serve alone? The word here, she has left me to serve alone, is the word for abandonment. She has abandoned me to serve alone. Tell her to help me. You know, not too many people get to order Jesus around. And she probably wasn't thinking at the time. She is exasperated. She's distracted. She's overwhelmed. Can you understand? But notice Jesus' response. And Jesus doesn't holler at her. And Jesus doesn't point his finger at Mary and say, Mary, get up and go in the kitchen. He looks at Martha and says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled. You're distracted by many things. But only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha is kind of like a parent using the full name. Stephen, Zachary, Hearn, and you know you're in trouble. Well, y'all don't, but I do. Or with David, he's so much like my youngest brother who's Philip Merritt Hearn. I'd say, David Philip Merritt Hearn, and he knew he was in trouble. Or he was about to be corrected. And so Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Now, we most often think Jesus was rebuking her. Luke Vinson, in his commentary on the Gospel of Luke, suggests that just as Jesus tried to get Simon Peter's attention later on, when he says, Simon, Simon, and trying to get him to think seriously about what he was doing, Jesus is not rebuking Martha, but trying to get her to see that service and serving must flow from something else, hearing and understanding his teaching. Jesus wasn't telling Martha that her service was unnecessary. Jesus was telling Martha, I appreciate your service, but your service needs to flow from hearing and understanding my teaching, a word from God. Hearing and understanding this word gives a different kind of nourishment, he's telling her. Not just nourishment for the body, but that for the spirit and soul. Mary has chosen. Notice he didn't say that Mary was passively sitting there. Mary has chosen the good portion. Now, most of the time we think, Mary chose the right thing and he's rebuking Martha. No, he didn't say Mary chose the better portion or Mary chose the best portion. Mary chose the good portion. He's indicating that the spiritual part is essential before actively serving. the spiritual part is essential before actively serving God and others. Jesus knows that Martha is pulled in way too many directions all at once. And what he's telling her is, you have become distracted by these other things from the one thing that you need to strengthen and validate your service, to strengthen and validate what you're actually giving as ministry. You've allowed all of these other things, whether the music's too loud, the preacher's too soft, it's too cold, it's too hot, there are no poinsettias. By the way, there's one on the... All those things that distract us and keep us from coming and truly learning and sharing. Jesus says you're distracted from the thing that you need the most to strengthen and validate your service. I'll only be here a short time. You need to hear my words and then serve. He says Mary's choice will give her something which cannot be taken from her. What Martha has can be taken. The pots, the pans, the plates, the tables, even the food can be taken. But the teachings upon which she will reflect and which will give meaning to life and to service cannot be taken from her. Jesus is, in his own way, telling Martha that her ministry is important, but it must be undergirded and complemented, complemented, complemented by hearing. Hearing regularly and learning. But he is also telling Martha and Mary and even me that hearing by itself is not enough. It must result in active service. And so really, Martha and Mary in this story are not opposites. They are complements to each other in the lesson that is learned and the lesson that is given by Jesus. What distracts us from really hearing? Mary chose to hear and to learn. And later on, we know that she will serve Jesus and the Christian community. Martha was distracted from hearing. And though she performed service and ministry, the challenge was for deeper service. So in a world of noiseless noise and distractions, I guess the question is, how often am I Martha and how often am I Mary? Is there some way to fulfill both? Edward Schweizer notes concerning this passage that what is said here has nothing to do with passive mystical reflections in contrast with practice, but rather with a practice that is a service that comes from hearing, in which Jesus is truly Lord and in which Jesus truly teaches us to serve. Are you distracted? Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for being around us and for seeking to inspire us. We confess that far too often we allow other things to distract us and keep us from truly understanding what you would have us not only to learn, but then to do. Open our hearts, our minds, our eyes even more, that we might experience your teaching and use it in service rather than be distracted by the noiseless noise. It's in Jesus' name that we ask these things from you. Amen. Our concluding hymn, our hymn decision, is hymn number 680, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open. But it's my hope and my prayer that we even more so open the altars of our hearts. Number 680, all the way, my Savior leads me.